Coors Banquet, brewed in the Rockies.
Welcome to the I Can't Even podcast, home to the many popular interviews with those in the music and entertainment business, broadcasting globally from Portland, Oregon, and Nashville, Tennessee. Your hosts, Lakota and Cabe Kelly.
And we are live. I love that. Hey, unmute your microphone. I muted it.
That shit is so excessive. I love it.
I know. It's ridiculous. It hypes us up. I've been talking about getting an intro done for this. It actually, like, I had it, like, really, really high in my mic or my headphones. But it plays off into the distance. Like, I could have just turned down the volume a little bit and we could have talked over it. We'll figure it out. But I've been talking about getting an intro for this show for,
like, a year.
Probably over that. Yeah, probably, I think, since day one.
Yeah.
Damn, that's dude. Good. We haven't recorded in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I don't even remember. This has been such a whirlwind of the past 3 months. It's not even like, I mean, just like the timeline in my head is like completely erased now. It's kind of ridiculous. So
let's talk about that. What you've been up to. I mean, what, I know there's probably some things you cannot share with our listeners.
Yeah, some things I can't.
There's a, like, lot of exciting stuff.
Yeah, so January 30th, John blew up on TikTok. No, January 31st, went to bed with 18 followers on TikTok, woke up with 13,000. We built that TikTok following over the course of the month of January, had meetings with labels in January. They were like, hey, like, we love the voice. We love the, like, the thing that you've got going on TikTok, but for us to, like, be invested, you've just got to have the songs. The songs just weren't good enough. And I, at that point, at that time, I didn't disagree with that whatsoever. So talked to a bunch of people, made some good connections through it. And then John's been writing. I mean, it seems like he's been writing about every single day for the past 3 months. If not, he's been writing at least 3 times a week. These songs that we're getting are unbelievable. They're different. They're not the typical punk rock or rock thing you're hearing. They're very poetic. They tell you a story that you could hold on to, and they're very, very, very well produced. Like, sonically, the songs are just very, very pleasing to the human ears. But on the flip side of that, this is also Nashville, and this sound is, I personally believe it's going to be the forefront of this new kind of wave of what's coming out of Nashville. And we're going to be kind of the founding fathers of that. It's been 3 months. We've had meetings with 2 record labels now. There's at least 3 more that are seriously interested. They kind of just waiting to see what we're going to do with this, with, like, the next few months and releases and stuff like that before they're willing to put a deal on the table. But, it's not going to be very long. This is not going to be a typical, as you would say, I guess, like, road to stardom, in my opinion. That is biased. I am John's manager and best friend, but also I wouldn't be saying it if I didn't believe it. We've been grooming ourselves to get this point for 2 years. And honestly, the iron's hot right now, and it's time to capitalize on it. It's time to make the most of everything that we can. In terms of, like, how we want to basically build our careers. We're building a foundation. We've got a team around us of now 7 people, 8, almost. One of them's, like, halfway fully invested. He's just got a lot of other stuff going on. But, I mean, we've got a lawyer who's one of the best lawyers in town. She was mentor of the year for 2 separate organizations. She's one of the most well-connected people I know. We just signed to a PRO that's invite only. That's exclusive, extremely exclusive, especially because of COVID. They haven't signed anybody that's independent and doesn't have music out in, like, a year. Like, they've been signing.
What is a PRO?
Performing Rights Organization. So whenever the song plays in an arena, or we play the song, or it plays at a bar, they're the ones who pay us. It's a little different for Spotify and stuff. It depends on how the song is streamed. But mainly a PRO is, like, terrestrial radio and, like, the song playing in a restaurant. The song has to be licensed for people to hear it. There's three of those main PROs, CSEC, ASCAP, and BMI. ASCAP and BMI are both public. Anyone could sign up. They've got well over 700,000 songwriters each, I think. CSEC has like 30,000. It's smaller. It's exclusive. It's invite only. We got invited on Friday. So that's really cool. And it's going to create a lot of opportunity for what we have going. But we added our rep as a part of the team now, very fully invested. We have a content girl who we've just kind of gotten into business with in the past week. Our producer is one of the best in the game. Nobody knows who he is yet. That's what I love about what we're doing right now, is that it's not like we're calling up Rick Rubin to like get this out. Like, Andrew Gomez is our producer, and he is one of the most talented producers I think I've ever seen or heard music from. I am biased. I don't see a lot of background of what other producers do, but I do hear the difference between songs that John writes with him and the songs that he writes with other producers. And day of, we'll get a full demo for the most part from Andrew, because he's got a vision that fits ours. And he's along for the ride. Spencer Jordan, he's another songwriter who's a big advocate of what we're doing right now. He's kind of been, he's his own artist as well, but he's been kind of looking for a side project to put part of his creative juices towards that he wouldn't necessarily do with his career, if that makes sense. So he's kind of getting that, he's kind of scratching that itch with what we're doing, and he's fully invested. And yeah, so shout out to the Dream Team. Honestly, that's what it is right now. Rachel Gutman, Zach Green, Andrew Gomez, Spencer Jordan, Blair Rindley, me and John David. And then there's going to be people along the way that keep joining. And as we build this career out, that's the goal, to build a career that's going to be long and successful and have a lot of impact on people's lives and leave a long-standing legacy of authenticity and dope music. So thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
That's awesome. Dude, that's awesome. Congrats. Yeah. I always wondered is like, how do you even build a team? Like, it costs money.
I don't know.
When we were talking the other day, you're like, we just hired on a PR person. I'm like, how do you have a lawyer? How do you have a PR person?
So the way that this has all happened, one, I will acknowledge 100%. I'm aware that this is not the way that this happens in a normal year. We would not be where we are right now if COVID had not have happened for a few different reasons. I mean, you look back on any moment in your life that something changed, and if you would have turned right instead of left, things could have been completely different. Luckily, we've turned right and left when we needed to at the right times to get to where we are right now. But we met our lawyer through a deal that I did for another artist last year. She kind of became a mentor to me, and now she's on speed dial for me. She's as invested as you could be for someone that's not getting paid. But she knows, she gets it. She knows that this is going to pay off in the end. That's why she's giving us the time of day. That's why we have a call a week for an hour out of her busy ass schedule, to go through things and learn and grow. And that's the big thing that we're doing right now, is just learning and growing. And we're going to continue to do that. And we're going to learn and grow as we're gaining success too. I mean, we've got a release coming up in the next few months. I can't really disclose the date. I'll tell you after. But with this release, I plan on having no less than 50,000 streams after the first few days, if not more than that. The TikTok fan base that we have right now is not like a normal thing. People
are sitting at right now
with followers. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, he was at 52,700, and that's grown from 18 to that in 3 months.
That's awesome.
And he's also had a lot of people go follow his Instagram too, which in my opinion is more important than TikTok, because you can be a little more in people's face because the way the TikTok algorithm works. TikTok fans translating over to Instagram, in my opinion, is one of the most important things, as well as Spotify. That's what we're going to do with this marketing for the single that's coming out soon, is build through TikTok. We're kind of going to have to restart from the ground up because John hasn't been viral, quote unquote, viral in about a month. And that's fine. We're aware of that. But we also know that like we have the ideas and the content to make that happen again. And for this time, it to have a release behind it that's going to be super successful because of how good the music is and how hard we're working to make that happen.
Oh, for sure.
But in terms of like the people that we've met and like hiring a PR person, no one's hired yet. The only person that's hired is me, essentially. Like, and I'm not even making money. But the PR girl that we have that came through our PRO that I was just talking about and our rep through that, I texted him on Friday. They offered us on Friday morning to join them. We said yes. And then I texted that guy later on, just called him. I was like, yo, man, like we need a content person that's looking to build and kind of create a career for themselves out of what we're building. So I don't want somebody that is going to charge us $2,000 at the beginning to get content done, because one, we don't have that. And two, not that that's not authentic, but it is even more authentic that like we're not able to throw her a bunch of money. She sees the vision and she sees the plan that we have and what we're trying to build. And that's how this is happening. Everything's super authentic right now. There's no faking what we're doing. And I want it to stay that way. I want to manage people and be a part of people's careers that are authentic and have a brand that is true to who they are as a person, not just an artist. John doesn't have to put on a facade for people. Obviously, to an extent, you're going to have to with like success and fame, and like you can't always be the nice guy to a fan because you might be busy. Like shit happens, but people can smell bullshit. Like fans can sniff bullshit. You know what I mean? And so doing it right from the beginning, in my opinion, is what's going to set us apart from everything that we're ever going to do compared to other artists. So yeah. Right,
fuck yeah, dude. I'm excited for you guys. Did John tell you I hit him up on Instagram?
I probably saw it because I've been getting his notifications. Dude, he has been – this is really
cool. I was like, bruh, you want to be on the podcast this weekend? He just likes it. That's it.
Did he? Obviously, that's nothing personal, dude. He's been so busy. I have his Instagram notifications now. I get his Instagram notifications now so that I can get on there and like go on live and stuff when we're in the studio. And it's unbelievable how many people are like hitting him up. Like he went on a date last week, not a date, but he went out to go eat with a friend last week, 2 weeks ago, actually close to 2 weeks ago. And funny enough, it's actually a girl that he wrote a song about. And the song is about how he had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. He was on like dating apps and stuff and met this girl on a dating app and they started Snapchatting and they never said anything. There was no substance to their friendship or relationship at all. And I know people like that I have in my life that I never took the time to like get to know them at all, but he wrote a song about it and it's a fucking jam. It's an absolute banger. So he hit her up and she loved the song, but they went out to go eat just to like kind of, I guess, catch up or kind of really get to know each other, honestly. And they were at like this place.
To actually hang out,
like just to get together. And they went to this place to go eat. And after John left, he got a DM from this kid. I'll pull it up so I can quote it exactly.
While you're doing that, I just want to shout out Daniel. I think his last name's Henley. He's on my wife's side of the family. He's a huge fan of the podcast. And he was texting me like, oh man, like I love what you guys are doing. I'm going back and re-listening to all the episodes. When I talked to him last week on the phone, he was on the episode where you had become the official co-host of the show. And he's like, man, I love what you guys are doing. Da 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 da. Are you guys going to bring back Two Random Facts? Like I used to do that when I just had no idea what the fuck to do. I'm like, I got to come up with some kind of
thing. It's crazy. It's crazy how much time has changed like since then, just like my perspective and your perspective and just how we've all grown over the course of COVID and everything. And it's blown, dude. It sucked. I would have never willingly given up a year of my life for the shit that we've gone through this year. But I know that right, like at this point, it's starting to pay out and it's starting to pay off. But he got this DM from this kid at 11:30 after he had like already gone home and stuff. And he just said, hey bro, saw you at this place last night. I was going to stop by and tell you, I love your stuff on TikTok, but I had to respect that you were for sure on a date.
That's dope.
He had fan mail, dude. And a kid was contemplating walking up to him in a restaurant. And guess what? We have 50,000 followers on TikTok. But those people, they believe in what's going on. Like the DMs he gets back on feedback of these songs, I mean, people are amped for what's going on, just from a fan's perspective, not even a business perspective. People are really going to get behind this and give their time and their money, I guess, essentially over the course of time, they're going to like end up going,
show me the money,
and like paying to be a part of this. So it's dope, man. It's been really crazy.
That's awesome, man. Hey, look at me. Hey, are you getting sleep, bud?
No, I'm exhausted right now, but I just got to wake up for class.
You need to sleep more.
No, I'm going to bed early tonight. I'm going to go run after this and then probably be chill for the rest of the day. But I've been on calls and emails all morning.
Speaking of working out, man, I've been to the gym now twice in the past 4 days.
Good for you. I need to start going again. I don't even want to start lifting weights. I just need to go like to have something consistent that's like just me running and like doing something healthy, you know?
Yeah. See, weights and I get along. I like lifting weights. I like a bodybuilding routine. I fucking hate cardio.
Really? Yeah, I do too. But
yeah, cardio hurts. It hurts my legs. I got bad knees and I'm heavy. But speaking of weight loss, I finally broke 230. So I'm sitting at like 228, 229.
How much have you lost?
Considering the fact that when I started this podcast, I was teetering between 287, 290. A lot of fucking weight.
Good shit.
I was almost 300 pounds. I was a fat fuck.
That's awesome, man.
That's what I was. Yeah, man. That's dope, though. And you know what? For people, because I don't post this stuff a lot. Like, I mean, I just don't. I'm not good at social media. But I remember, you know, I used to put out episodes where I talk about different diets or different workout routines and shit like that. And I think I even said in both those episodes or any of those episodes, you got to find what works for you.
Yeah. I've never found what worked for me because I always hated working out for football and shit. So I just never like took the time to like find out what works for me. But I mean, I've always had a metabolism to where I don't have to like be healthy, be a healthy eater to like do what I want to do, but it's kind of catching up.
That's going to catch up.
Yeah.
Because when I was your age, it was the same fucking thing. And then not 2 years later, I blew up. So yeah, no. And the funny thing is that none of what I did was consistent. Like, this is the first time I've been back in the gym since I moved to Vancouver. And even when I was in Laredo, I'd go to the gym maybe once a week or once every other week.
Dude, what's it like with COVID up there now?
Things are opening up. So like we just went Friday night, I actually wanted to talk about this. We went to one of our, I wouldn't say like one of our favorite restaurants because it's like a pub, but I guess one of our favorite like pubs to go to. It's called Brick House in downtown Vancouver. And we actually met up with April's cousin, his wife. They were here from Texas, hanging out on the coast in Portland, and we had dinner with them. So shout out to Jonah and Brooke. I finally got to see him for all the in-laws on my wife's side. You guys will understand this joke. I got to see Jonah and Brooke outside the Terry Matrix. And that was just awesome. Yeah. It was awesome to see him like relax. You know, when you're like with family, and my wife comes from like a traditional, like Southern Baptist, like family.
Yeah.
So they're all like prim and proper and everything. And, you know, don't talk about alcohol. Don't talk about partying. Don't talk about, you know, mistakes. Don't ever talk about mistakes. Only glorify your accomplishments.
Yeah.
That's how they are. And so I got to see him outside of that, and it was awesome. So the Vancouver's opened up. We're now in phase three.
Okay.
So like gyms are at like 50 or 70% occupancy. Restaurants are opened up inside up to 50% capacity. What else opened? Oh, the showers at gyms have now opened officially this week. Sporting events. So the Mariners play, I think, this weekend, either this weekend or next weekend, in their opener, their home opener.
That's awesome.
And you can now go to that. So we're opening back up.
Nashville has like Nashville's almost completely opened up now, and it's been about a month since we were fully shut down. I went downtown a month ago.
after going out with Reigns and his parents, and downtown was just like dead. I was just hanging out with a friend that plays on Broadway, and there was no one really there. There were like a few tourists, yada yada. The bands were still loud, but it wasn't crowded. We went back last Saturday and this past Saturday to Old Red, Lake Shelton's bar, because our friend Spencer, part of the Dream Team, Spencer Jordan plays every Saturday from there for either 2 to 6 or 6 to 10. So we've gone the past two Saturdays, and the last Saturday it was pretty packed everywhere. This Saturday, no one gave a rip. Like, there were people everywhere downtown. It was borderline completely normal again. It was crazy, honestly.
Are they wearing masks?
Yeah, people are wearing masks. When you, like, you still have to sit down in the restaurant. You can't dance. But literally, other than that, like, there's lines out the bar. My friend waited for an hour in line to get into Old Red. So everything's coming back slowly but surely. It's pretty dope to see.
Yeah, being at the gym, you, besides people wearing face coverings, you would have no idea that we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Being at the restaurant, same thing, you know, you have to wear your mask until you get to your table. And then once you get to your table, you can take it off. I got a funny story about what happened Friday night. So I got a little tipsy. They were running about an hour late. So we sat down. We felt bad about, you know, taking up this table. But I had like 3 beers before they even showed up on an empty stomach, because this was after work for me. So I got pretty tipsy. And before they showed up, this woman comes from the back door and just screams, "Where's the bathroom?" to the entire restaurant, like an older lady. And it was like a classic Tyler Perry moment. I just laughed my ass off. I was so drunk. It was so funny. There was no, like, she was just asking the entire restaurant. It was hilarious.
That's what I'm looking forward to post COVID, other than all of the music stuff, obviously, like coming back. But in terms of just my career, but like the fact that we could just go out to Old Red now and hang with people and meet people, dude, meeting people at a bar that like is a friend of a friend is so damn fun. Like, there's something so beautiful about meeting people and having the opportunity to network. And it's not even for the benefit of like your career. It's just like for you. Like, you just meet people and hang out with them and learn about each other and why they do the way they do and like why people tick the way they do. And that's what I'm looking forward to from all of this being over.
Even like, dude, just, you're young, you know, you just turned 21. So like not having access to the bars for this long, it sucks. Because when I was 21, every weekend we'd go out, whether it be with the brothers or I'd go out with a group of friends or like philosophy colleagues or whatever it was. I'd go out with professors, you know, obviously not to the clubs, but we'd go to a pub, have a few beers, talk about this or that. And those are like super critical moments in my college career, in my college experience.
For sure, dude.
And you guys were like, you guys are missing that.
Completely deprived of that for the past year, which sucks. But like I said, I mean, none of this would have happened if it weren't for everything that we've kind of sacrificed with COVID to get here, you know? Something kind of beautiful about that, honestly.
There is. Let's talk about your new career. I guess your new old career.
What?
I don't know. You're back at Vivint.
Oh, we're no.
We're both repping Vivint.
I always rep Vivint, though. That's all the clothes I have. A month ago or a month and a half ago, Caleb kind of brought it up to me because he was going to have his own smart home team. No, this is actually about 2 months ago. He was going to have his own smart home team, and they were doing this whole thing. And then they all moved to solar. Caleb's doing Sunrun now. He still offered me.
They all are.
I still thought about it. I almost did it. But we've just had too much good stuff going on with John David for me to give up music again. Like, we gave up Vivint last year for music, then COVID happened, which honestly it wasn't a mistake, but I sometimes look back and kind of wish that I would have taken the opportunity to go make a lot of money last year, but this year I know it's for real. Like, I don't need Vivint for me to be successful in what I'm trying to do, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were back at it. So
I was literally about to be like, we were meeting up. I can't remember when it was. We were supposed to meet up a few weeks ago and kind of start training again and get back into it, but didn't end up working out. And there's no hard feelings with it. It's Caleb's one of my best friends, but
Yeah. So Josh called me. Actually, it sounded like Jeremy, but he was in my phone as Josh.
Josh Bell?
Yeah. I was like,
well, they're all doing
I was stuff. Like, what's up, Josh? And that, then I heard him. I'm like, I think this is fucking Jeremy. Oh, oops. Anyways, everybody's been hitting me up, trying to recruit me back, doing the Vivint Solar. Because I think the whole thing that they're doing now is like, you know, they're looking for setters and closing for Sunrun.
Dude, Caleb.
But also you can sell smart homes. You could sell upgrades and shit like that too.
That's what most of the reps are doing is they're still selling smart home to make the money, but they're also selling the smart home. And then at the end, like, oh, like they're setting the close basically for older guys to go through and close. But Caleb set, I think he said he set 5 appointments this week. And he
made some money.
It's like, if they close, it's $2,000 per appointment. So that's a positive 10 grand, and 10 grand is not, you don't get $2,000 from a Vivint deal. You maybe got 600 from a Vivint deal, you know,
the money up front.
Yeah.
I think I've made on one account, they ended up pulling that. I'm still like salty about that. I sold the dude. He had like a 9,000 square foot home in Laredo.
And he had 2 systems.
I sold him 2 systems, 8 cameras, doorbell, smart locks, smart thermostats, everything.
That was
and I think I was looking at making upfront like, I don't know, $1,400, $1,500, and then total like $3,000.
That's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah. But you know that everybody keeps hitting me up, and you know, for anyone that's listening, you know, except for Tay. Tay didn't hit me up. So that means he has enough respect for me. He knows that I'm just like fucking done. But you know, for all the Vivint people that are listening, which I don't think are many, I'm not going back to door to door. I'm not. I have health insurance. I am in a great career. I make great money. I make sustainable money. Like I'm good. Like I'm making like the same amount that I'd make in like a bad summer.
Yeah.
I'm actually making more than I did like my first and my last summer with Vivint. But I hope those guys are doing well. I hope Caleb has like a big team, but
yeah.
I don't know. I thought you were back with them, cause you were like, oh, I'm selling Vivint. This was a week and a half ago. This was a week and a half ago when you told me that.
I was probably pretty drunk. So
You were, and that's why, you know what, let's explain that to the listeners. That's why we haven't been able to record. I think Cave has a drinking problem.
Yeah, I don't have a drinking problem. I'm just so busy, dude. It's been really busy, and that's I want to give everything my all. Like I want to give everything that I can to this podcast, but like it's like not that that's not feasible, because it totally is, but like there's also like I'm so damn busy with everything that's going on with John right now that it's I can't even get my schoolwork done, dude. Like I'm about to drop out, I think.
Like, I just do it. Fuck it. I dropped out. Look how well I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I
listen, kids, you don't need college.
You don't. I mean, you do. I would not be where I am. I would not be where I am without college. I will definitely give it that, and ATO, and how much that means to me. But right now, the iron's hot, and like it's time to go. You know, my friend said this to me last night. He said, regardless of what you do this year, a year is still going to pass. What's going to be the most bang for your buck? What's going to bring you the most value to your life, and like make you love what you're doing and yourself the most? And frankly, to me, that's not college. Yeah, I wrote it. I have a whole bunch of quotes on my wall. Like,
it's good.
You can't play all your cards at once. How will you follow up then? That's from our lawyer. Stop and smell the fucking roses. That's from the band Camino. You got to give people a story. You got to give fans a story. They've got to have something to cling to. You can't just have vague content that's not direct and relatable.
I don't know. I mean, this podcast is doing all right. We're pretty vague. This podcast is just, it is what it is. So I told you, I don't know if I've told the listeners, because we haven't recorded in a couple weeks, but I'm on a new project now.
Oh, with I can't remember what it is, but yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I'm working outside of Portland now, and so I don't have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. It's really nice. And I'm only like a 26-minute drive from like the time I leave the parking lot to the time I'm at work.
That's awesome.
So it's yeah, dude. I get home at like 4 o'clock now, 3:30, 4 o'clock instead of 5:30 or six.
Yeah, that's dope.
It's nice. I hold on. I had a list of things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, okay. So this is a big one for me. As like many of my close friends, especially like my Anchorage friends who went to high school with me, they remember listening to the Kane Show and especially like War of the Roses and all those bits. Peter Diebler, aka Kane, sadly passed away, I think a week and a half ago. And huge, like gut-wrenching news, because much like Carla Marie and Anthony, Kane was like my like first introduction to talk radio. I listened to the show before him, but I listened to Kane from literally day one where he started in the DC market and till his last day when he was abruptly taken off the air and the crew that was with him took over. I think he took a step back. Now we know it was probably because of the health complications he was having. But I just want to, I don't know, like say something in his memory, because without that show, without Kane and intern John and Sammy and like those original people that were with him, this podcast would not exist, because I wouldn't have found Elvis Duran, Mojo. I wouldn't have found, Howard Stern. I wouldn't have found Carla Marie and Anthony. And like found a love. I wouldn't have found Joe Rogan, because I wouldn't have found a love for like talk radio, podcasts, this kind of format. And what really sucks is I really wanted Kane on the show. And there were so many times where like I'd get on his Instagram and he hadn't posted in a while. And I'm like, I should just reach out to him. Like he's probably just hanging out with his daughters, just kind of chilling. I should just take a leap of faith like I did with Carla Marie and Anthony and see if I can get him on. And I was always too intimidated, too scared to do so, because he is like a legend in radio.
Yeah.
And I never did. And I regret that. And it's always the opportunities that you don't take and the risks you don't take that you always regret.
That's why I think I would regret not dropping out. Like, that's why I think I would regret not giving this every ounce of what I have for the next year and a half, which would be the time that I would graduate. So by the time I'm supposed to graduate, when I look back, I don't think I'm going to regret dropping out. I don't think I'm going to regret giving this everything that I've got and pushing myself to the limits of whatever I'm capable of, you know?
Yeah. And you need to. And just like a last remark on that is that, you know, if there's something that you're scared to do or you want to do and you're just not sure about it, bless you, just fucking do it.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta do it. You just got to go for it, man.
Fucking full send it.
Take the leap of faith. Yeah. And, you can't rely everything like with this type of idea of putting it all towards something. You can't rely, your mindset. You can't have hope. The hope of everything working out, be the mindset of what could happen. That's not my mindset. Obviously, I do hope.
Got to get it done.
I do hope
to get it done.
Out. I hope that I look back at 10 years and love every single thing that I've ever done. But I also know that it's time to grind. Like, this is the time in my life where this is just like a defining moment. And it's going to, I personally just think it's going to change the course of my life and everything I ever do. So
it will. It will. But, you know, I, you should definitely drop out, dedicate your time to this. Like you're not that interested in school. You've learned what you can. You're going to have to find somewhere to live, but
we're moving. I still live in the fraternity house, but me, John, Jake, and Garrett are all going to move, I think, to somewhere in Nashville in the next few months.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But that means a new job.
Have you told your mom? Or is this
we talked about it
to your mom?
No, we talked about it last night, and she's not don't get me wrong, she's not supportive of me. Anything I do, she's gonna be like, yo, like
let's do it. But
oh my, why you blow your nose? My mom was fucking livid.
Yeah, I
was like, I'm gonna drop out and I'm gonna sell Vivint.
I think there's a part of her that's gonna be disappointed at the beginning. That she just wishes that I would have finished school. But I think once everything kind of pans out and we are doing it to an extent that I don't have to like worry about my bills and like following this dream. And like, that's what at the end of the day, that's what your parents want for you, is to be happy. And I'm not happy in school. Frankly, I'm bored as hell. And the only reason I'm still in school is because of my fraternity and these brothers that I have around me that are, one, good hangs, and two, some of my best friends. I wouldn't be here without that. I would not still be in school if it weren't for ATO. But I think she understands. I think she's definitely going to understand it more and more as time goes on as well. But we talked about it last night at the beginning of the conversation. I could tell that she is more on board because at the beginning of the conversation, she was talking about me still having to graduate and how that's the end all be all. But after about an hour of talking, then she was talking about 5 weeks from now. And after the semester, how I could devote everything to what it is. You know what I mean? Instead of saying a year and a half out, John could be on a world tour. And I would regret every second of my life if I didn't drop out, if I didn't have the opportunity to do that because I didn't drop out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the good thing is, I'll tell you this. Back to school. If I need to go back to school, I could figure it the hell out, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I don't think my life would be better if I would have stayed in school, because I was kind of in the same boat. I was a little bit further ahead in my studies than you are right now. But I just, like, you could see my grades were teetering. I stopped caring. I was working a fuckload before I started the Vivint summer, and I was done. And I think even if I would have graduated with a philosophy degree, I wasn't going to go to graduate school because I was done with academia, and I didn't really know which direction I was going to go in. So I took a leap of faith with Vivint. Don't regret it. Made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, but you know, I definitely wouldn't be in the position that I'm in now, where I'm living in the Pacific Northwest, which is like heaven for me. It's like almost always overcast, which is like my perfect day. I love overcast days. Like dry overcast days are my fucking favorite. I can hike. I can go and explore. You know, you got to go where as stupid and cliche as it sounds, where your heart's taking you. And if you're not focused in school, you're wasting time, you're wasting money, you're wasting energy, right? You got to put all of that towards what you are interested in. And that's how people become successful. It's not because, oh, you fit this mold and you did what everyone else did and da 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 da. It's like, no, I just went what I was passionate. I went towards what I was passionate about. Last remark, though, I do want to say one thing about Kane, because I don't think I finished my thought, is that never mind. Rest in peace, Kane. Fucking love that dude. Missed hearing him on the radio. I don't know if I was talking to you about it actually, if it was on the podcast, like how you like become super close. I think I was talking with Bryce on the phone about it. Like how you become close with like personalities. Like you feel like,
yeah, I've said like that your too. Friend. Yeah, I've said that too about my favorite podcast, The Sore Losers. Like I talked to Ray. I talked to you about him a few months ago, actually trying to get him on the show. But like I you're able to interact with these people. You kind of forget that these people are famous in a way. Like I don't look at Raymundo and I'm not like, oh my god, it's Ray, even though that is what it is, but like he's just a dude. Like we text on Instagram, like we just talk about, like, you know what I mean? Like we're just
I would have looked at Kane. That's why I didn't hit up Kane, is because I was intimidated. I'm like, this guy's a god in radio. And it, like, one of the guys, you and I made a hundreds list. I don't know how far you got in yours, but
like 50, I think
I did about the same. And Kane was on there. Another person that's on there is Elvis Duran, who's getting older, right? He's another legend in radio where it's like he's probably going to stay on air until the day he dies, which I hope doesn't happen anytime soon. Same with Howard Stern, right? Howard Stern's probably never going to retire from radio, right? And these are guys that I'm like extremely intimidated to hit up, but now losing Kane, it's like, fuck, like, what do I have to lose? They say no. They never respond.
Yeah, that's all anybody can ever say to you. That's fine. And they might
I hit up Carla Marie and Anthony, and like collectively they have like 200,000 followers, right? Like a decent following.
Very good following.
And they responded to me within minutes.
Yeah.
Which
you
is like,
I realize, man, people really do see stuff. Like I'm not saying you should go out and DM Justin Bieber because that motherfucker's not going to hit you back. But like, people are available.
No, the Beepster and I are fucking tight.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
You want to have him on next week?
So sure you are. but like, people are available. Like, people want to like be like they people get it. You know what I mean? Like, people are not always celebrities are not always like the super far out figure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not everyone's Jerry Seinfeld. Do you know the thing about Seinfeld?
Yeah, I've heard that. That really it just makes me mad.
No, I get it. So for the listeners who don't know, like, Jerry stopped signing autographs and stopped taking pictures with fans probably almost 2 decades ago because he was so famous. I mean, when you hit Jerry Seinfeld famous, which I think he's the first comic to hit billionaire status, it's overwhelming. Yeah. Where you're literally like, you could go to fucking middle bumfuck nowhere China and say Jerry Seinfeld, and that person working on the rice field will probably recite an airplane joke that they heard from a Seinfeld bit, right? Like, he's super famous. Yeah. And so he just stopped. He's like, look, this is overwhelming. I have my own life. Da 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 da. He's not a jerk. I think he explained himself in an interview or a few interviews where he's just like,
I can understand and appreciate that perspective, but I just don't think like that makes me not like Jerry Seinfeld at all. Like, that makes him unavailable to me because that's also coming from someone that does know a lot of people that are pretty damn famous and has met a lot of people that are pretty damn famous. But when I met Luke Bryan, we talked for 5 minutes and I didn't like fanboy on him. We just had a conversation. Like,
right. But that's not normal. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess
a lot of people are going
to, I don't want to be, I would never do that. I would never tell someone to not approach me unless I'm like eating or I'm with my kids. That's my rule. If you're eating or you're with your kids, then I'm not going to go like,
hey, but I didn't know you had kids.
I mean, like when
How
I'm
many
older,
you got? Boys or girls?
Zero. I have Lucy. That's it. But,
Lucy's his dog. If you guys,
yeah, know. Lucy's my dog.
I think she's been on one episode.
She probably has been. I saw her yesterday. She's so
funny. We didn't do the video. Of that.
Yeah.
I probably have it recorded. I
would want to be approachable. I would want to be approachable if I were that level of stardom, honestly. I wouldn't want to be. Garth Brooks, best example of a celebrity that is super, super good at fan interaction. There's a story about Garth where he, no bullshit, signed autographs for 23 hours straight, and it's true. It happened. Like,
and that's awesome, right? But yeah. Like, you also got to think, I'm going to defend Jerry here just because I kind of get it and I get both sides. But if it's like we're talking about something super controversial, this isn't controversial.
No, this is also each his own type of thing. Like, I can totally understand why he wouldn't want to be approached like that. I'm just saying I would not.
Well, and here's the thing, like, you got to remember, like, Jerry, for those 2 decades, what did he do? Nothing. He just kept stacking money off of residual checks off of Jerry, off the Seinfeld show, just being replayed on TV. He wasn't doing stand-up. You wouldn't see him workshopping at comedy clubs. He wasn't doing like live events. He wasn't going on tour. He wasn't doing another show. It wasn't until probably like 3 or 4 years ago where he started doing comics and cars, getting coffee or some shit like that on Netflix. And then he put out 2 stand-up specials. Right. That's all in the past, like, three or four
years.
I
guess Garth kind of did that too, because he took time away for about 20 years as well.
Exactly. So if you're a famous person, right? Like, think like Kevin Hart or The Rock, and they just get out of the limelight, right? They get out of the limelight, and they're just like, I just want a normal life. I just want a normal life for a little bit. And I think that's what Jerry did. I'm sure if you saw Jerry now that he is putting himself back out there, he is doing more specials, he's workshopping at comedy clubs again, and you see him at the club, right? Or he's walking down to the street in New York, going to the club or going somewhere, and he said hi, he'd probably talk to you. He just doesn't want to do autographs or pictures.
Yeah.
And he even has a joke about that. He's like, it's a waste of time. Like, I'd rather just have a conversation with you and like chat with you, get to know who you are. You get to know a little bit about me, right? And that's going to be more memorable than, hey, Jerry, can I get a selfie? Click. And then they just run off and post it on Instagram. Like, I just met Jerry. No, the fuck you didn't. You took a picture with Jerry. That was it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. You sitting there talking with Luke Bryan, way more memorable than you getting a picture to post on Instagram.
It's very true. I didn't even ask him for a picture. I didn't even think about it. We just had a conversation. Right.
Because that's a better experience. And that's how, like, if for whatever reason this podcast becomes like way more famous, more than it is in Panama for some fucking reason, I would like to be that guy, but I also don't want to be like a fucking token, right? Like a walking NFT where you just come take a picture of me and you trade it online or some shit like that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that. I'm a person. Right? Famous people are people, no matter how crazy or abnormal they are, right? They're people.
Yeah.
But speaking on that, we need to have John Harvey on.
Yeah.
Today's a Monday. And for people that don't know, I work Monday through Friday. I guess you probably should know that because we usually post on the weekends. But today I have the day off.
Yeah, and I'm glad we did it today too. It's kind of nice doing it on Monday, honestly, because weekends are so hectic. Like, Sundays are so hectic, and that's usually when we record. Well, but
I'm like available in the evenings now because I'm not getting home so fucking late, where I have like 45 minutes to an hour to record.
That sounds so much better, dude. On a weeknight, like Sundays are not Saturdays too, man. I mean, just this past weekend, Saturday, Friday, I met with Blair over the phone, the girl, the content girl. We talked for an hour, really hit it off, set up a time on Saturday to get together with her and John and kind of work through a vision, and then set up a photo shoot for Sunday. And all three of those days happened because of the day before. Like, we didn't plan it. My point is, we didn't plan that like 3 weeks out. Like, some of this stuff is really happening, quote unquote, on a whim. It's just happening fast.
But it's going to be like that for a while, bud.
It is. It's exhilarating, and I'm super glad. The other reason that I'm so confident in like dropping out is because of like the way that people, my peers, like my friends, like people that shoot me straight and have never like bullshitted me about anything, the way that they're talking about this. Like, we talked to the guy last night. I'll give him a quick shout out, Shane Hunt at Ridenour Studios. Shane and I have been friends for over 2 years now. He knows what we've got going on. He's always believed in the projects that I'm working on and the artists that I'm working with, such as John and Vinewood. It was mainly Vinewood that he was a part of, but John was also a part of Vinewood. But that's where we would rehearse. Shane heard every rehearsal. He heard the kinks that we were working through and all that stuff. And he said last night over the phone, he called John and I both, and we were just together. He was like, dude, he was like, these songs are different. There's something different about this. And you have to capitalize on it. Like, this is not a normal circumstance that you guys are in right now with everything that's going on. He was like, this doesn't happen. So it would be a mistake for you not to put everything you have towards it. He was like, this is going to be really fast and it's going to take time, but you also need to start keeping notebooks. And both of you write down every single day when you get home before you go to bed for 5 minutes, just something like everything that happened that day. Cause honestly, when I think back from about a month from today back, February 22nd, I have no idea what happened that day, but there was probably something good that happened. You're muted.
Yeah, no, I agree. I you just reminded me, I had my Border Patrol interview today in Laredo, Texas.
Yeah. Like, it's a,
by the way, I'm not showing up. So CBP and Department of Homeland Security, I'm not going to make it. I live in the Pacific Northwest now. But thank you for considering me a year later.
Yeah.
Fuck.
My main point is just how quick times change and how quick everything's happening. I don't want it because you have this perspective. I have this perspective right now where I think personally in the next 4 months, we're going to sign a record deal. Now that 4 months in time is worth 4 months, but we might not sign a record deal for 8 months. But I know in 8 months, I'm not going to look back at the 4 months and be like, damn, we didn't do it justice. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because... But well, because if you like stagnate my mindset is not
so jaded to think that everything's just going to work out. Like we've got to work hard and stuff, but it's probably going to happen in just a little bit of a different way than what we've expected. We didn't expect, we've always expected to sign a record deal. We did not expect for it to happen because of this.
But look at this perspective, right? And this is for the listeners too, right? Let's take the 4 months for an example, right? You dedicate all that time and 4 months. You may not sign a record deal, but you're going to be 4 months ahead than you were
4 months prior. Exactly. I'm going to be four months closer than where I was.
You may, right. But then you may not sign it at 8 months, but you're going to be 8 months further into that experience growing.
Eight months closer.
Right. Where you could be at like hundreds of thousands of followers for.
Exactly. Whereas if I would have stayed in school, that 8 months would have been 16 instead of the 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And dropping out is the key to make. Does that make sense?
We're dreamers, man.
It is a dream.
You got to realize I'm going to enable you to drop out because I believe college is like a waste of time for.
I think it can be. I think you can get a lot.
After sophomore year.
I think you could get a lot out of college. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think I've gotten out of college when I need to. And people need degrees. Some people need to get a degree for what they want to do. But I would rather put my head down and work my ass off and prove it to everybody that I can do it. You know?
If you're going to be a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, please go to school. Please.
You have to.
You have to.
Literally.
But yeah, you're like, you have to. But if you're not going into those careers, go to college for 2 years. Go to college for 2 years. You're going to meet people. You're going to network. And you're going to figure out in those 2 years what you don't want and what you kind of want. Yep. You're not going to know what you want, right? Because if you do the math, right, 2 years, you're probably like 20, 21. You still don't know shit.
I'm changing.
Right? You know, it does.
That's the other thing.
I'm 27. I'm 27. I finally got into a career.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm 21 and this is the early 20s. This is what I'm going to look back on when I'm 50 and say, yeah, that was the good old days. I'm really, really happy. I'm really, really happy that I took the time to drop out and I did that with John. And even if we don't get a Grammy and even if we don't end up headlining Bridgestone Arena in 10 years, I'm going to look back and be like, hey, it just wasn't meant to be. We gave it everything that we had, you know?
Well, and you could be like that British manager that managed that one dead country singer. The one that died.
Charlie Pride.
Charlie Pride. Right. His manager lives in like not a super swanky, but like, you know, upper middle class Denton home. Right. Had nice china, nice interior. And he's retired. He just relaxes. Right. But, you know, that motherfucker has some stories. You know that he's lived a life filled with adventure, with excitement, with downfalls, with overcoming those downfalls. Like, you know it. And now he can just chill with his wife. In North Texas,
and just live now, but it's time to capitalize. That's my main point. Is it's just the iron's hot. It's time to strike. It's time to make this happen. So
yeah, I need to put you in touch with my little brother. If anything, just to get John's name, up to Alaska.
Yeah,
utilizing some kind of funding. Because he's always looking for some investment opportunity and he's doing really well.
Your little brother's looking to invest in something?
My little brother makes a lot of money.
Yeah, well, if he wants to give us $2,000 and we'll pay him back $2,500 in the next 4 months, honestly, that would be freaking amazing.
He might be interested in that. Just to get you logistics of all, if you guys were starting, because things are going to start opening up, live venues are opening up, tours are going to start again. Alaska is one of those like hidden gems that people forget about when it comes to music.
Yeah.
And like the music scene up there is massive. And he has the, he knows the people that run Anchorage, most of Alaska, like all those old farts that are in the background running businesses and stuff. He knows them. He plays poker with them. You know, he's close with them. But like looking for, if you're looking for an opportunity to find a, like a logistical partner and getting something set up, if you guys were going to go on tour for something in Alaska, because they have festivals after festivals.
Yeah, for sure. I think, by the point that we get to where we'll be touring in Alaska, we'll have an agent by then. So,
I would hope so.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that doesn't always
happen. Like,
it's true. Like, it doesn't.
I don't know if the, Logan Rooney's band, the Jeffries, we need to have them on. He said he's down. It's just like coordinating with him. Yeah. That's the big listeners. When like Cabe's in college and he has work and he does the podcast and he's doing like his passion, right?
And I'm doing and everything.
I'm working. I'm married. Yeah, I'm working. I'm married. And like trying to fucking coordinate with people. That's why we haven't had many guests on recently, is that it's really fucking hard.
It is, yeah.
To coordinate with the people. So bear with us. I know in the intro, it's like, you know, entertainment and like interviews.
It'll come. It's just taking time. I mean, for me to be able to give this podcast every ounce of what it deserves, it's just going to take a little bit of time before we can have a consistent schedule and be having consistent guests. It's growing. Yeah. I mean, we're both growing.
And you just got to quit school.
I'm growing, especially, dude. Like this past 3 months has been the most I've ever grown in my life in terms of like professionalism and maturing and understanding the business. But the beautiful thing about that too, is that 2 years ago when we started putting out music with John, that's what I thought then. I thought that's how much I had grown. I did. Like it took me doing that. And doing Vinewood and having COVID happen and having all of these pieces fall into place for us to get to where we are now. And it's time. That's it. So.
You're so tired.
I am exhausted.
I can hear it.
I'm exhausted, but like, I'm also motivated. Like I can honestly go for the next 12 hours. Cause like this is what I want to do. This is a pipe dream. This doesn't happen. You know, like,
yeah, it's you definitely got to strike. Well, that's how, like, when this podcast hit like 10 listeners, right? Going back to the third episode, I was like, what the fuck? Well, I guess the first one like hit like 20 in like the first like 10 minutes. And that was cool. That was cool. But then as it started growing, I'm like, oh shit, like, look what I got. And still, like what were, when did I start recording? November? Technically November is when I started it. I think the first episode came out in December.
December 23rd.
Yeah. So what, a year and 3 months?
Yeah.
And it's still growing. Like we get listeners. I haven't ran an ad for this podcast in probably 6 months. And we're still growing. We're listened to in like 22 countries now. Which is fucking cool. We get a new country almost every month now. I don't know how. It's weird. It's weird. Like, who the fuck is listening to us in Korea?
That's funny.
It's fucking weird. But I think, I know you do. Hold on. I think there was one. No, we got that. We got that. Yeah, we covered that. Hey, we covered all my notes.
Sweet.
Listeners, I had actual notes for this. I know it probably seemed like all over the place, but
it was. It's okay. We haven't read. It's been hard to be. It's hard to be in touch right now. Like we're busy. We're figuring it out, and we are going to have more going on with this soon. It's just going to take a little bit of time, I think, to kind of get our, especially with me moving and everything, like, and dropping out, this is going to take a little time. But once we get up there and I'm living with my three of my very best friends, then we'll have more time to really give it everything that it deserves. So it'll just take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So
it will. Do you have anything else to add?
Dude, I'm good. Kids, chase your dreams, and you'll know when it happens. You'll know when it's here. There's a certain, you're right. I am exhausted right now, but there's a certain type of peace with everything that's going on that I've never had, with music and the music industry. So,
well, I'm going to leave with these remarks, and then we're going to play the intro again and let it just play out, and then I'll stop the recording. But, I saw an Instagram post, and I know this is true because I've read Elon Musk's biography twice now. It was like a picture of Elon, and like people have probably seen different iterations of it, but there's a picture of Elon Musk, and the caption was, I work 7 days a week, over 100 hours a week. I don't take vacations. You know, I don't have free time, and people still call me lucky. Right. And right now, Cabe, you're in a point where, you know, you're gonna have to work more hours for almost no money than most people would your age, right? To make this dream a reality.
Yeah.
And that's what sets people apart, is like, you know, everyone has a dream to be successful, but nobody wants to put in the work, right? And what they mean by work is, you know, not doing what I'm doing, right? Like for carpentry, right? Yeah, I'm gonna be, my goal is to be a successful carpenter.
It's a little right? time
but
though.
I have other aspirations. Yeah. Right? And so for someone like in your position, right? Or if I had the funds where I could quit carpentry and I could be a full-time podcaster, that doesn't mean I would be working less. I've made a joke about it, but it honestly would probably mean I'd be working double the hours.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of working 40 hours and making 40 hours a week and making like 52,000 as a first term apprentice, which is what I make right now. I'd be working 80 hours a week, maybe 90, and making maybe $12,000 a year, if that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, and that would only be for, you know, until the podcast blew up. Right. If it like really got going. And I commend you for what you're doing, but also I hope that you have the foresight, and I think you do, because I've known you for a while now, that you know that, okay, this isn't a time to like offload and kind of back off. It's offload the shit that's not important to you, like school right now. It's not a priority. It's done its job. It's gotten you to where you need to be. Offload that. So those hours that you are setting aside for school and school work can now be dedicated towards this dream and making it a reality.
Yeah.
And then double on that, right? So if you're putting 30 hours in for school each week, now you need to dump that and put 60 into this dream,
yep.
Right? And that's really what sets everyone apart. Go back and look at everyone who is successful, like Kevin Hart or Jerry Seinfeld or The Rock or anything like that. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Elon Musk, these motherfuckers put in time. They put in time. And most of those people that I just listed, actually all of them that I just listed, came from really poor homes.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know if Jerry did, but I know the other three did.
I don't know if Elon, I thought Elon was, never mind. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't like poor, but like they lived in South Africa. They weren't like made of money.
Yeah,
and they weren't. When he went to Canada for university, which he ended up dropping out, he was living off of like a hot dogs and ramen noodles.
Yeah.
Like he was trying to live off a dollar a day. And then, you know, then he dropped out and made millions. But anyways, I love you, bro.
Love you too.
I'm going to talk to you next week. I'm going to play out the intro and just let it drift.
All right, sweet.
Peace, listeners.
Bye, y'all.
We'll talk to you all next week.
And gang.
Welcome to the I Can't Even Podcast, home to the many popular interviews with those in the music and entertainment business, broadcasting globally from Portland, Oregon and Nashville, Tennessee. Your hosts, Lakota and Cabe Kelly.
So hyped, dude, for no good reason. I love it.
Right? It's great.
Yeah, it's dope.
I love it. But anyways, we'll talk about it next week.
All right, bye, y'all.
We'll talk about it next week. Later, bro.